Radio.net.
Well, we thank you this morning, beloved, for tuning in to the Blessings of Liberty broadcast. This is Brother Dwayne Tester, filling in for Preacher Wayne Greer today. What a joy it is to be here this morning. Myself and Brother Noah here this morning. So we just ask you to just tune in, get you a chair, get you a Bible, and sit back and then enjoy what God has for us this morning. I'm going to give it back to Noah now. He's got a few things he needs to say.
Thank you. We do want to say welcome to everyone this morning, those who are listening in here on AM 1450 WATA out of Boone, North Carolina, and those who are listening in out of Bristol, Virginia on AM 690 WZAP, and those who listen in out of KBGT 89.1 FM, The Truth in Watertown, South Dakota. We do appreciate our listeners this morning.
Well, we do thank you, Brother Noah, and I appreciate all those that are listening to the broadcast this morning. Now, I will say that I was telling Noah that I get a little nervous. Preacher Wynn, he's such a great man of God, and so God has gifted him with a knowledge of American history and the Bible and how it correlates with each other. And those are big shoes to try to fill coming in here on the broadcast this morning, but the Lord has laid something on our hearts. Preacher Wynn some time back had asked me about a message that I preach on some coins. And coins, we're all accustomed to coins. We like coins. We need coins to buy drinks. And, you know, it's just money. It's our monetary way of trading and doing things today. But I'm going to use these coins today, but I'm also going to go into the book of Jeremiah, chapter number 17. First of all, I've got in my hand a coin, actually a penny dating 2010. On this penny, it says, "In God we trust," across the top of Abraham Lincoln. Also, I have in my hand a quarter dating 1981. In front of man is the inscription, "In God we trust." I've also got another quarter, a newer quarter. It's dated, it's hard to find the dates on these newer ones, but 2007. The inscription of "In God we trust" is placed behind man. I've also got in my hand a 1994 50-cent piece, and "In God we trust" is under man. We have here a presidential dollar coin, and "In God we trust" is not on the front, nor is it on the back, but it's placed around the edge of the coin, which normally we know what is the first place that a coin wears out. It's on the edge. And as I think about this, this gives us a good illustration of America today and God. God is above man. We know that. Our pennies, they still to this day have "In God we trust" above man. But as you follow these coins throughout history, you see how America is slowly drifting away from God. It went from above man to in front of man, then behind man. Man here in America has gotten to a place that we try to outrun God. And we've brought God down to a level as well that we've elevated ourselves above God. We see that on our coins. Then we see God behind man completely. We're leaving him. He's gone. On the dollars, when we take away God, we have nothing. So, beloved, this gives us somewhat of an illustration of what America's facing today. Many today do not believe like you and I believe, or like myself and Noah and those here in the station. I don't know anyone's heart. But God should be above us and before us. We should be people that love the Lord and want to follow God. I want to give you a little history about this motto, "In God we trust," this morning. You can find this for yourself as well through the Treasury Department. The motto, "In God we trust," was placed on United States coins largely because of the increased religious sentiment existing during the Civil War. Secretary of the Treasury Salmon P. Chase received many appeals from devout persons throughout the country, urging that the United States recognize the deity of United States coins. From the Treasury Department records, it appears that the first such appeal came in a letter dated November the 13th, 1861. It was written to Secretary Chase by Reverend M. R. Watkinson, minister of the gospel from Ridleyville, Pennsylvania. And it reads as this: "Dear Sir, you're about to submit your annual report to the Congress respecting the affairs of the national finances. One fact touching our currency has hitherto been seriously overlooked. I mean the recognition of the Almighty God in some form on our coins. You are probably a Christian. What if our republic were not shattered beyond reconstruction? Would not the antiquaries of succeeding centuries rightly reason from the past that we were a heathen nation? What I suppose is that instead of the Goddess of Liberty, we shall have next, inside the 13 stars, a ring inscribed with the words Perpetual Union. Within the ring, the all-seeing eye, crowned with a halo. Beneath this eye, the American flag, bearing its field of stars, equal to the number of the states, united. In the folds of the bars, the words God, Liberty, Law. This would make a beautiful coin, to which no possible citizen could object. This would relieve us from the enigma and heathenism that this world faces. This would place us openly under the divine protection we have personally claimed. From my heart, I felt our national shame is disowning God as not the least of our present national disasters. To you first, I address a subject that must be agitated." Here we know, as this was the letter written to the Department of Treasury, and as before they sent the report to Congress. And as a result of this, Secretary Chase instructed James Pollock, director of the Mint in Philadelphia, to prepare a motto in the letter dated November 20th, 1861. He says, "Dear sir, no nation can be strong except in the strength of God, or safe except in his defense. The trust of our people in God should be declared on our national coins. You will cause a device to be prepared without unnecessary delay, with a motto expressing in the fewest and terest words possible this national recognition. It was found that the Act of Congress dated January 18th, 1837 prescribed the mottos and devices that should be placed upon the coins of the United States. This meant that the Mint could make no changes without the enactment of additional legislation by the Congress. In December 1863, the director of the Mint submitted designs for new 1-cent coin, a 2-cent coin, and a 3-cent coin to Secretary Chase for approval. He proposed that upon these designs, either our country, our God, or God, our trust, should appear as a motto on the coins. In a letter to the Mint director on December 9, 1863, Secretary Chase stated, "I approve your mottos, only suggesting that on that, with the Washington obverse, the motto should begin with the word our, so as to read our God and our country. And on that, with the shield, it should be changed so as to read, In God We Trust." The Congress passed the act on April 22, 1864. Many believe today, beloved, that our coins, In God Our Trust, In God We Trust, was on our coinage from the Founding Fathers, but it actually came about during the Civil War era here in 1864. It actually appeared on the first 2-cent piece in America. And you may say, well, what does that have to do with the Bible today and so forth? In God We Trust has always been our nation's motto. Our Founding Fathers came to America and found a place that they could come and worship religiously with freedom, without oppression from the outside. But as we progress through the years, we have seen oppression come, and many today are trying to take this off our coins. We see it on our dollar coins as well. Actually, on February the 1st, a group called the Freedom from Religious Foundation and 19 other plaintiffs sued the United States Treasury, demanding that the motto be removed from the U.S. coins and paper money on grounds that it constitutes discrimination against non-believers. By handing their money to anyone in a commercial exchange, the plaintiffs argue they are forced to proselytize by an act of Congress for God, a God they don't believe in. A similar case in 2011 brought the same atheist attorney, Michael Newdow, and he went all the way to the United States Supreme Court, where it was thrown out and rejected. Most Americans have taken the words "In God We Trust" for granted today, beloved. Thus, many are surprised in 2011 when the House of Representatives voted to reaffirm the simple phrase as the official national motto. Today, I can stand here behind this mic and I can gladly and boldly proclaim that "In God I Trust" this morning. That's where my trust is, and I pray that's where your trust is. We cannot trust in man. And that brings me to our text in the Bible today in Jeremiah chapter number 17, verse number 5. The Bible says, "Thus saith the Lord, cursed be the man that trusteth in man, and maketh flesh his arm, and whose heart departeth from the Lord. For he shall be like the heath in the desert, and shall not see when good cometh, but shall inhabit the parched places in the wilderness, in a salt land, and not inhabited. Blessed is the man that trusteth in the Lord, and whose hope the Lord is." In verse number 5, as we read, "Thus saith the Lord, cursed be the man that trusteth in a man, and maketh flesh his arm, and whose heart departeth from the Lord." Here, there is a cry of the secular humanist that is that we trust only in ourselves as humans. And many today are just trusting in themselves to make it day by day, hour by hour, second by second, minute by minute. According to these secular humanists, we have the intelligence, we have the ingenuity, we have the insight to guide the course of human advancement along a path that will eventually lead us to a utopian society. You see, in this view, the human existence of God is not needed. And indeed, God is seen as a danger, and that to the extent we humans trust in God. Beloved, may I say today, they are around us today. The majority, it seems today, would like to just wipe God completely out of the scene. What we have, our nation was founded on, what is on our money, the hope that myself and Brother Noah and Preacher Wynn has is in God. And people would love to take that away. There's no doubt that there's some that would love for this broadcast to be done away with, that the call to worship be done away with, any radio program or any television program that has anything to do with God be done away with, because they, let's just face it, simply they do not believe in God. And that's the bottom line. But he says, "Cursed be the man that trusteth in man." You see, when we fail to trust in God, and we begin to trust in our own genetic possibilities, you and I will never reach the capabilities that God can help us reach. In this view, man is his own God, who has the power to create his own heaven and his own earth. Beloved, may I say that God still controls all things. Everything is still held in his hand. And God gives us a warning here in this text. Verse number 5 is a warning. Cursed be the man that trusteth in man. God is not saying that we cannot trust one another as Christian brothers and sisters. I can trust Noah here this morning. I can put my faith and trust in him as a brother in Christ. But when I put more faith in Noah, and I'm picking on him because he's sitting here this morning, but when I put more faith and trust in him than I do God, then I'm elevating man above God. God is in whom we should put our trust this morning. But what God's talking about right here is the ultimate trust as it relates to our destiny here. The moment we take our trust from God and we place that trust in man, we've entered into a state of cursedness, I guess you could say. It may take a while for the dominoes to fall, but when we place our trust in man and not in God, the mighty will fall, and that is in man. Cursed is the man who trusteth in man and maketh flesh his arm. The arm here refers to strength, to power in battle or war. The nation who trusts in its own military might more than it trusts in the arm of the Lord is setting itself up for a fall as well. We know that America is still a mighty power militarily. And when we trust more in our military than we do in God in these battles, then we're setting ourselves up for a fall. If God doesn't keep the city, the watchman watcheth in vain, basically. It's not the tanks, it's not the planes, it's not the helicopters, it's not the bombs, it's not all the technology that will preserve a nation. It's the mighty hand of God who can sweep the enemy back like a field of grain and give the victory to a nation who trusts in him. It's not by might, it's not by power, but by my spirit, saith the Lord of hosts. Again, cursed be the man that trusteth in man and maketh flesh his arm, and whose heart departeth from the Lord. When our heart no longer seeks after God, and we see that, as I gave the illustration of the coins this morning, and that is a really strong indication to me of the direction of man today. Our hearts are turning away from God. We've brought God down to our level. We're no longer following God. He's no longer before us. He's no longer above us. We've placed him behind us and beneath us, and in many cases, completely out of our lives. I see it on a daily basis. So many people struggling. So many people are trying to do things on their own, but they've not turned back to God. God knows our hearts this morning. You see, when we desert our prayer closets, and many do. Many, they'll give you a 30-minute prayer request and pray for 30 seconds. But it's time this nation turned back to prayer. We still have the right to pray. We still have a right to pray at home and publicly. I can bow my head in Burger King or Wendy's or wherever I might be and still pray to an almighty God and reveal my heart to him. When we forsake our devotions, when we fail to study God's word, when we fail to give him our entire hearts, when our heart departeth from the Lord, we have embraced God's judgments instead of his blessings. Blessings upon our country, blessings upon our churches, blessings upon our homes, blessings upon our children. When we do not have God first and foremost in our lives, we are embracing the judgment of God. So that brings us to the second part. Verse number 6, the Bible says, "For he shall be like the heath in the desert, and shall not see when good cometh, but shall inhabit the parched places in the wilderness, in a salt land, and not inhabited." What are these judgments, Dwayne? In verse number 6, each one is listed. First of all, the judgment will be like a heath in the desert. That is a shrub with a juniper, if you really study it out, without water. They don't put down deep roots, and many times without that water, they dry up, they die. No water for life, no nutrients for strength, no hope of survival. A shrub in the desert, we've seen it many times. Those that watch TV, National Geographic, or any of that stuff, you see desert scenes, and you see those shrubs dry and shriveled up, and they're not lush and beautiful. We've had abundance of rain here in the high country as of late, and everything is beautiful and green. The rain has come and fed it with nourishment, and it wasn't nourishment that Dwayne gave. It was from God. It was from God. He says the judgment will be like a heath in the desert. But not only that, he said, shall not see when good comes. Good will come and pass by, and we'll never see or we'll even know that the good was within reach. And yet, beyond our reach, blessings will elude us. Many today are so blinded by themselves and so blinded by the world. And I'm not trying to be dogmatic about this, but let's face it. Let's look at reality this morning and the fact that we've gotten away from God. And those, when we get away from God, when good is there, when good's around us, we don't even know it. We're so caught up in ourselves and caught up in our own little worlds and our struggles and our trials that we don't even know it when God does show up and wants to bless us. And he says one of the judgments will be that we shall not see when good comes. Thirdly, he says in this verse, and shall inhabit the parched places in the wilderness. This is our habitation, our home, and our spirits. These places will we will dwell in dry places, wilderness places where the sun scorches and refreshing water is withheld. There is a judgment for not placing God and putting our trust in him, placing God first in our lives and trusting in him. I trust in him this morning. I was as nervous as a long-tailed cat in a room full of rocking chairs walking in here this morning. But I put my trust in him this morning. It's not Dwayne that I hope you're hearing. I hope you hear God speak to your heart. I'm trusting in the very fact that God has opened this door of opportunity for someone to hear this morning. It's not about myself. It's not about Preacher Wynn. It's all about God and telling people about the goodness and the blessings of God when we walk with him. He says here as well in the judgments, there's five judgments in this verse. There is in a salt land, a place where nothing grows. We've seen those salt beds out west where they do a lot of land speed records and so forth. But if you look at those, nothing grows. Nothing can grow on these salt places, a place where the seed dies in the ground, a place where all the toil and sweat will avail nothing. What a danger it is to find ourselves in the judgments of an almighty God. He also says, fifthly, not inhabited except by those who are cursed to live there. Beloved, my prayer is this morning, as we bring this broadcast to you, that you not be cursed with these judgments. And I believe God's word to be holy and infallible and inerrant. And God has gave us his word to follow. And he says this morning that cursed be the man that trusteth in man and maketh flesh his arm, and whose heart departeth from the Lord. You see, when we find ourselves in a place that's not inhabited, we have no friends, we have no allies, we have no help in the times of our trouble. Many times in my life I found myself in a place that seems it wasn't inhabited, a place that it seems that I was the only one around. But God's always gave a friend to show up in those times of need. A friend that would put their arm around you and pray with you, give you a word of encouragement. But for a person that is cursed of God, he says, they'll be in a place not inhabited. No one to turn to. No one to hear our cry and see our tears, because we choose to forsake our trust in God and to place that trust in man. What a shame that would be, to place our trust more in man than in God, the one that created all things, the one that breathed life into the nostril of man, the one that has blessed us with this day today. Every breath we take, every morning we get up, is a blessing from God to enjoy for his honor and for his glory. But we have a promise out of these verses. In verse number 7, says, blessed is a man that trusteth in the Lord, and whose hope the Lord is. You see, in contrast to the man who puts his trust in man, is the man who trusts God. After comparing and contrasting these types of men, I've come to this very conclusion. They may strip it from the Pledge of Allegiance. They may erase it from our dollars and our coins. They may strike it from our songs. And they may remove it from our courthouse walls. But as for me here this morning, I place my trust in God. And I pray that you do the same. I pray that you place yourself behind Him, under Him, in His watchful care. You and I can declare with unashamed confidence and find my glory in the power of the cross. In every victory, let it be said of me, my source of strength, my source of hope, is Christ alone this morning. Beloved, I give you what the Lord's laid on our hearts this morning. Our time's almost caught us. And I pray that this has been a blessing to you. God loves us this morning. God wants to love us more and more. He wants to bless us. And there is hope. There is a silver lining. We can turn to God. All through the Old Testament, as we've seen Israel, the nation of Israel, turn away from God. God always had a plan. He always made a way that they could turn and come back to Him. Turn and receive His blessings. And when they were walking with God, God blessed them. But when they turned from God, God lifted His hand, and a curse was upon them, and they were oppressed. They were taken into captivity. And beloved, my prayer for America, my prayer for you this morning, is that we would just, as I say so often, I mention this quite often as I preach, is that we'll just place our hand in His hand. Put our trust in God we trust. Place our hand in His. Say, Lord, I don't know what the next hour holds. I don't know what tomorrow holds. But God, I know you have been there. I know that you have worked it all out for my benefit, for my good, to bring you honor and glory. And beloved, He'll receive you. He'll receive you this day. There may be some listening that has turned from God, that's not trusted in God in your circumstances. Many are hurting. I get texts and phone calls from a lot of people who are hurting, that's struggling, who's not placed their trust in God. Many have. Many are being patient, praying diligently that God help them in their time of need. Beloved, listen. God will answer those prayers in His timing, according to His will, for your good and for His glory. So, beloved, spend much time in prayer. Spend much time reading His Word. There's much to be learned, and I hope that as you look through your coins, don't take for granted what's placed on these coins. In God we trust. On our paper bills as well. In God we trust. That's what our nation, our forefathers, believed in. That's where their trust was in God, not in man. So, beloved, I thank you this morning for tuning in. And I've just about run out of things to say, and some of you might say, wow, that's good for you, Dwayne. But we do appreciate this opportunity. You pray for Preacher Wynn today, as he's out and about today and doing what the Lord has having him to do. So we just love you in the Lord today, and this is Brother Dwayne Tester thanking you for tuning in to the Blessings of Liberty.
All right, thank you. This has been Blessings of Liberty, brought to you by Mount Lebanon Baptist Church. It's located in Vilas, North Carolina. We want to say thank you to Preacher Dwayne Tester for filling in for Pastor Greer this morning. If you'd like to contact us, our church phone number is 828-963-4596. That's 828-963-4596. Or you can reach us through our church website at mountlebanonbc.org.